Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. We'll be focusing our attention on the blessing of righteousness as we turn in our Bibles to the 112th Psalm, beginning in verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Psalm 112 is a companion psalm to Psalm 111. Both of these psalms are known as acrostic psalms. That is, each phrase in each of the psalms begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so, if you were reading this in Hebrew, each sentence begins with a successive letter. The first sentence begins with Aleph, the second with Beth, the third with Gimel, the fourth with Daleth, and so on through the Hebrew alphabet. And they would do that to aid in memorization. It's like the streets in Corona del Mar. They're named after flowers, but they're in alphabetical order. So you have acacia, begonia, carnation, dahlia, and so it's easier to remember the streets in Corona del Mar because they're named after flowers in alphabetical order. So these psalms, each sentence after a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and they are companion psalms. The 111th psalm is a psalm that extols the works of the Lord. And he speaks of the works of the Lord are great. They are honorable and glorious. They are to be remembered. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. And he ends the psalm by declaring, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all of they that do his commandments." So the reverence of the Lord and doing of his commandments is how the psalm ends, Psalm 111. Psalm 112 is the companion psalm, and it takes off where Psalm 111 stops, in that Psalm 112 now talks about that man who fears the Lord and obeys his commands. So it talks about the works of the Lord, how awesome they are, and how that because of God and his awesome works, he is to be reverenced by man. He's to be held in great awe, wonder, reverential fear. Now, getting into chapter 12, it talks about that man who has learned what it is to stand in awe and reverence of God. That man who has committed himself to obeying God, doing his commandments. So Psalm 112 begins with praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. So you see the tie with the previous psalm. We're going to talk about now that man that was mentioned in the last verse of the previous psalm, the man who has come to wisdom, for the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and good understanding, those that delight and those that do his commandments. So that is God's blessed man. Now, Psalm 112 through Psalm 118 are called the Hallel Psalms. As we mentioned, Hallel is praise. And so they are psalms of praise. And these five psalms, or six psalms, are the psalms that are sung during Passover. And on the first day of the Passover feast, they begin the Passover meal. with Psalm 112 and 113. At the end of the Passover meal, they sing Psalm 114 through Psalm 116. Those are the Hallel Psalms. I said through 18, but actually it's through 16 are the Hallel Psalms. Now, as we get to Psalm 114, 115, and 116, these were sung at the end, as I said, of the Passover feast. And we read in Matthew's gospel that when Jesus celebrated the Passover feast, after the meal, they sang the psalm before they went out to the Mount of Olives. So when we get to Psalm 114, 15, and 16, just sort of close your eyes and imagine that you're sitting in the corner of the room listening to Jesus and his disciples as they sang those psalms at the end of the Passover dinner before going out to the Garden of Gethsemane. How I would have loved to have heard Jesus sing. I will one day, but I would imagine that he has a very powerful, fabulous voice. The voice of the Lord. Thundereth, you know, breaketh the cedars in Lebanon. So, praise ye the Lord, or in the Hebrew, hallelujah. Blessed is the man, and the word blessed we've pointed out in the Hebrew is literally, oh, how happy is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. David began the first psalm with the words, blessed is the man, or how happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. But he goes on down to say, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hear the blessed man who delights greatly in God's commandments. Now it describes conditions and things that will transpire, that will come to pass in and for this man. First of all, his seed, his children, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The posterity of the upright man, those children that follow him, shall be blessed. In another psalm, it talks about the blessedness of serving God and committing yourself to him, and it says that you will see, you know, your children's children, the blessings upon your children's children. And surely, it is such a thrill to see my children's children loving the Lord, serving the Lord, following after the Lord, singing praises to the Lord. Just a great delight. The posterity, the generation of the upright, shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Psalm 1 declares concerning that man who delights in the law of the Lord that he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Because our righteousness really is that which God has accounted to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. Unto the upright, that is that upright man, verse 2, that is blessed, there ariseth light in the darkness. Jesus Christ is indeed that light. He said, I am the light of the world. And there are so many scriptures that relate to Jesus Christ as the light. And the contrast between light and darkness, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. And thus, that light in the darkness, he is gracious. How glorious and how gracious is Jesus Christ. We think of what a gracious person he was. A bruised reed shall he not break. He was just so tender towards people in need. He was so gracious towards sinners. It's just a beautiful example for us, the graciousness of Jesus. He is full of compassion. And again, all through the Gospels, we read over and over how Jesus was moved with compassion towards people, towards individuals who were going through deep sorrow, towards individuals who had great infirmities, towards the multitudes who were like sheep without a shepherd, without someone to truly guide them. They lived in a day of religious confusion. They lived in a day of religious hypocrisy, when the religious leaders were corrupt, when they had made the house of God a den of thieves, when there was all kinds of confusion in the minds of the people because of the corrupted religious leaders who were really just seeking to enrich themselves by making a prey of the people. And thus, the people were without any real spiritual guidance. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And when Jesus came along, they recognized the genuineness of Jesus. They just pressed upon him. And so many times we read that the crowd was pressing upon him so much that he didn't even have time to eat. He didn't have time to sleep. The needs of the people were so great, and he was moved with compassion towards them. He wasn't angry or irritated that they would interrupt him, but always his heart was compassionate towards those in need. And then he is righteous. What can you say? He said, I do always those things that please the Father. You can't improve on that. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He was a perfect example of what God is. He's righteous. Now, coming back to the good man, the man who fears the Lord, the man who does and delights in his commandments, a good man shows favor and lendeth, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. He is generous, and yet he is discreet. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be held in everlasting remembrance. Now, the righteous may be moved for a time. All of us go through problems and trials where we are moved, but not move forever. We go through the trials, but we come out. We don't stay in the slough of despond. But we come out like the dear old sister who was testifying of the tremendous trials that she was going through. And she just didn't know if she was going to be able to make it. And she cried out to the Lord in desperation and said, Lord, you must help me. I just can't handle anymore. It's gone beyond my ability to cope. And so she said, just guide me, Lord, in the scriptures. And she opened up her Bible, closed her eyes, and put her verse down on a scripture. And she looked at it, and it was Luke 2:1. And so she was sharing, and God led me to Luke 2:1. And oh, how blessed I am, how happy I am. God has given me glorious victory. Well, the pastor knew that Luke 2:1 said, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And he wondered, what in the world could that scripture do for this poor woman in her desperate condition? And so when she was finished with her testimony, he said, Sister, he said, I'm just a little confused. You said the Lord led you to Luke 2:1, and it brought you such tremendous blessing. Tell me, how is it that Luke 2:1 spoke to you in this your hour of great trial and burden? She said, well, Pastor, it says, and it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, brother, it came to pass. You may be going through some trials, but they've come to pass. They haven't come to stay. The righteous will not be moved forever, but shall be held in everlasting remembrance. And this verse speaks to me. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, for his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Through life, we are destined to receive evil tidings. Tidings of a loved one who has died, maybe been killed in an accident. Tidings of financial setbacks. Tidings that your wife just had an accident and it was all her fault and the car is totaled and the premium just expired. As Christians, we are not immune from problems, from troubles. But as Christians, we don't fear evil tidings, because we trust in the Lord. And we know that all things are working together for good, because we love God and He's called us according to His purposes. And so, because of our trust in the Lord, our heart is fixed on Him, not on our circumstances. And as the result, there's no fear in the day of evil tidings. When those evil tidings come, we're not destroyed by them. We're not devastated, because our heart is fixed. We trust in the Lord. People are, it seems, constantly aware of the fact that here in California, we live near the San Andreas fault line, and that we are being warned all the time that we are facing here in California a monumental earthquake. It's going to be of a magnitude of somewhere in 8.3 or so, some of them are estimating. And we can't really imagine the devastation of an earthquake of that intensity. There are those who have visions of the earthquake, and they see in their visions California sloughing off into the Pacific, everything that is west of the San Andreas fault line. And because of these prophecies, they see the giant tidal wave inundating this whole coastal plain, and they foresee all of these things, you know, and people get frightened and they move from California. They go back to the south where they have tornadoes. So fearful of earthquakes in California. But they say, well, aren't you afraid of a big quake? You know, surely when that day comes, it will be a day of evil tidings as the whole place is shaken. But if you're trust is in the Lord. If your heart is just fixed on Him, you really don't fear. David said, I will not fear though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea, because his trust is in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Trust in Him at all times, ye people, for the Lord will sustain us. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He has dispersed, that is, he has been generous. He has given to the poor. And again, it repeats, his righteousness endureth forever, and his horn, which is a symbol of power, shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it, and they will be upset. And the wicked will gnash with his teeth and melt away, and the desire of the wicked shall perish. Psalm 113, also one of the Hillel Psalms, a short little psalm of praise. Praise ye the Lord, or hallelujah. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. And then he goes on to declare, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues to guide us through the study of the Psalms. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse venture through the Psalms. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing comments.
May the Lord be with you, give you a good week. May you just experience the consciousness of God's presence as He leads and guides you in His path. May it be just a week of spiritual growth, drawing closer to God. In Jesus' name.
Come along on an exciting adventure as Pastor Chuck reads the story of the Ten Commandments to children.
God wants us to keep the Ten Commandments, but we just can't do it. So Jesus came and did it for us.
Featuring Pastor Bob Coy as the voice of Pharaoh.
Moses, Moses, Moses. No, I will not let God's people go. No, no, no.
Pastor Ken Graves as the voice of God.
You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. Honor your father and your mother.
And Pastor Pancho Juarez as the voice of Moses.
Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today.
And so many others. To order the Story of the Ten Commandments book by Pastor Chuck, which comes with the audio CD as a gift, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. Or to see a sneak preview of the book, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.